porn stars can become parents.
It's something that we've just learned to overcome, the questions that get asked.
There is no way in hell we would have been able to handle having...
But women have a biological clock and men have a financial clock. The man only thinks about, can I secure the family's future for XYZ? Whereas the woman just thinks about, I just want to be a mother.
We were not mentally ready to be... I do not believe spending the money or having fun was a mistake at all. I've always believed that the minute you stop making mistakes is the minute you stop learning.
And we want to show our kids that we were the...
Welcome to the Uncensored Podcast. Welcome to the Uncensored Podcast.
Welcome to the Uncensored Podcast. Ever wondered how porn stars can become parents? Well, today we bring you a power couple who are parents to two gorgeous little girls, left their jobs to become professional adult workers.
Now inspiring to be the top couple or one of the top couples in Australia and someone or some people very close to our hearts.
Guys, we want to welcome Luther and Winter to the Uncensored Podcast.
Hey guys, how are you? And firstly, we are parents who became porn stars, not the other way around. So we were parents before we became porn stars, actually.
Damn it. I thought I said parents to porn stars.
You're talking about the guy who said he knows us really well.
All right, guys, well, I know you're strapped for time. So today, you know, I want to bring the viewers, I want to give them the juice. I want to talk about the story. I want to get really into, you know, we laugh a lot, we play a lot. And if they follow us on Instagram, they'll see all the fun stuff. But I want to give them the parts of that that they don't see. So before we dive into the story, guys, I want to know, like, who you are, your backstory, you guys growing up, how did you meet? How did we get to the position we're in now?
Okay.
Well, we've been together for nearly 10 years now. We met in high school, believe it or not. We didn't start dating in high school, though. Although I did have a huge crush on him.
She was obsessed with me.
I was a bit obsessed. It was really weird how it all worked out. I was also obsessed with your brother, so let's not forget about that.
That's a bit weird.
But yeah, we started dating shortly after high school.
She actually reached out to me.
I did.
It's a funny story, actually.
I asked you on the first date.
She actually captured me because she actually reached out to me. She reached out to me through a messenger and said, hey, can I take you out for a movie? And
yeah, we didn't have Tinder back then, did we?
No, we didn't. We're a bit old school like that. So that was very interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that kind of like really grasped me when she did that. So it wasn't too long after that. We were sort of like living together.
Only because I wanted to get you away from your crazy ex. You're not allowed to live with her anymore.
And then, yeah, fast forward. Here almost 10 years on, we have two beautiful kids.
Dude.
And now we are working full time in the adult industry. So, which is very, very challenging, but also very rewarding.
Yeah, no, it's good. Yeah. It's good.
Bing bong.
Take us back. What were you doing, you know, for work back then? You know, what were your guys' career paths before we got to this point?
I have been studying for the most part of our relationship on and off, like just casual jobs until I decided, hey, I should probably do something with the brain that I do have. So I've dabbled in study. I was at university studying a Bachelor of Criminology, actually, before I decided to quit that and join the adult industry. Believe it or not, I wanted to be a forensic officer and dive into all that kind of stuff.
Something very different to what you do now.
Very, very different. What about you, babe?
So I was, once upon a time, I was actually a mechanic. So I started out my career quite young. And as I moved into that career, I actually had a bit of an accident at work, which we can touch on soon. Not long after that, I left that career and I was working full-time just as a tradie. And this opportunity came up to sort of leave that, and we took that by the balls and here we are today.
Which was a pretty big move for you to make though, because you were like quite high up there.
Yeah.
In your
job. I mean,
job.
You work 7 years on any sort of
service
career.
Service supervisor.
And it was like a lot to let go of, but the benefits have been super rewarding working in the industry we do now.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. So do you want to touch a bit more on your... around your finger and like how you lost it?
So it's a funny story actually. I suppose I was a fourth year apprentice and it was a lovely day outside at the time, but it ended up getting ruined pretty quickly. I was actually working on a particular car and it was actually, I was having a bit of an off day that particular day, and I was putting my a certain car back together. And in doing so, there was a particular noise that happened during me putting it back together and fixing the car. And essentially what had happened is this noise had kick-started. And what I did is I was putting my hands in places I probably shouldn't at the time. And my boss, he came over and he sort of said to me, "Hey, what's that noise?" And he actually revved the car. And as I was turning my face to sort of say, "Hey, mate, you need to stop that," my hand was caught in between two pulleys when the car was running. And before you knew it, and like the snap of your fingers, literally, I sort of sat back and I was sort of covered in blood. I didn't know what was going on. And my boss sort of comes over, chucks me a rag, and then he sort of like uncovers it to like get the Medicare kit out and sort of like clean it up. And before you knew it, like there was all this blood everywhere. And he's like, "Oh, fuck, like you need to get in the car." So I've like ran to the car.
Did you know at this point you'd actually lost?
I didn't know. That's the craziest thing. I didn't know I'd lost my finger at that point, because he'd sort of said, "Oh, fuck," and then covered it up really quickly with a rag. And I was like, "Holy shit, I don't know what's going on." So here's me, you know, 20 years old, ran to the car, come out. He's like closing up the workshop really fast and all that. And then he just passes me this really filthy rag that looked like it was covered in blood. And he goes, "Here, mate, here's your finger." And then straight away, my it was like my brain receptors were like, "That's what it feels like to lose a finger." And it was just like this deep burn. And it was really, really, really like super painful as soon as it happened. And obviously rushed straight to the hospital. I demanded painkillers. And I, from that point, I had to have 4 or 5 different surgeries.
You're actually lucky not to lose two of your other fingers.
Because it actually, when it happened, it went through, it cut one finger off, but then it almost took another and then grazed through another. So I almost lost 3 fingers. But, you know, it was a life-changing experience for me, because it taught me a lot. It taught me the importance of looking after your body. It taught me the importance of your body parts and your health. And taught me the importance of not putting your fingers in places they shouldn't, like your parents try and teach you. So, you know, it taught me a lot. And what came with that, and I wasn't even aware at the time, but I remember very vividly my mother, she called me maybe 3 days after it happening. And I'll never forget what she said. And it sort of really sort of like stuck with me ever since. And it actually quite hurt me at the time. She said to me, "Son, it's like you've won lottery. You're going to get a payout for this." And at the time, at that age, funnily enough, I didn't really care about the money. I cared the fact that I'd lost part of my limb. I felt insecure about it. I had all these feelings I didn't understand, I'd never dealt with before. I think that was really important to note. But yeah, after she'd mentioned that, that's when obviously lawyers got involved. And then that's when I come to the point where I ended up 3 years later, I got a large sum of money, which was well over 100,000.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I love the story, and I love that you're so open with, you know, speaking on that, because trauma is trauma. Everyone goes through trauma, and a lot of people don't really know how to speak about it comfortably. So we appreciate you for that. I want to talk about the money. How old were you, if you don't mind me asking, when the accident happened?
So when the accident happened, I think I was just shy of 21. So I was about 20 years old at the time. So right. Super young, super naive.
So, yeah, stupid to the world. We've all been 20. We all know what it's like being 20. Over $100,000 at the age of 20 is pretty uncommon, right? And so we don't – back then, we didn't have financial knowledge. They didn't teach it at school. So I imagine you're just like we were at that age. You have no idea
absolutely
what investing is, what compounding interest is, what none of that means. So you get a large sum of money. You just see materialism. What happens, right? Because obviously, you know, if I'm speaking, you know, just in real terms here, you've openly told me at breakfast and lunch that you don't have assets from that, which you're looking back on going, "I wish I did," but at the same time, I'm glad I didn't, because it taught me, you know, who we are now and how we operate with our finances.
Correct.
What did you do with the money? Where did it go? How long
did it... We had the time of our lives.
So I just want to share like the first thing I did. So as soon as the money landed in my account, I got a letter, because we're talking old school work. We're almost going back 10 years ago, right? So I got this letter and it had this huge sum of money that was landing in my account. 2 days later, it was in my account. The first thing we did, because it landed in my account in the afternoon, it was about 6 o'clock. I'm like, I can't even go buy anything I really want to, but I want to spend my money. because I'd felt like I'd earned that, right? Me being dumb, not thinking about it.
Well, you did technically earn it.
You did. You
lost I mean, to a point, but in a different way. So what we actually did is I was like, pack up the car. We're going to go to Target and we're going to buy iPads. That's the first thing we did. The second big sort of move, really interesting actually, I was away for work at the time working in my old job. And I was away with my younger brother at the time and one of my workmates, and I was the boss. And we're doing a bunch of work out there and we're working on an island. So what we ended up doing was after a couple of days, we were able to get off the island on a ferry and we're like, we're just going to go out in the town, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, I just want to know like what all this money feels like. So of course me, 20 years old, I go straight to the bank and I demand $30,000. I pulled $30,000 out in cash and I just held it. I let everyone else hold it. I had a great time with it. I went out and did a lot of spending, this and that. And then shortly after that, I utilized that money to purchase a vehicle, which was our plan because
Was that my first, the Evo?
Yeah. So we're looking at, it was the Patrol. So we looked at buying like a four-wheel drive because we were looking at starting a family at the time. So
we were pregnant, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Were you pregnant before the payout? Or was the payout a comforting factor? Like, well, now I can get you pregnant because I can cover it.
Do you know what? That's actually a really great question because the payout happened and then Zoe got pregnant very, very...
early into our relationship, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think...
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, Kayla and I have got to know your daughters. We're very close. Yeah. We adore them. But if you didn't get the payout and Zoe got pregnant, do you think it would have been different?
Do you think
you would have thought about maybe we're not in a position we can raise this child?
No, that's would we have aborted us? Like.
Yeah,
sensitive people here when I use the word abortion, but like, would have those conversations happened if that money wasn't in your account where you knew I could raise a child at this age now because I've got the financial backing?
Correct. That is exactly what went
through our minds. That's how we were feeling. But the pregnancy I'm talking about, that we didn't even end up getting to meet that little angel, unfortunately, that was a miscarriage. So at the time we were like, yeah, we are financially stable. We are financially ready. But it was a kind of blessing in disguise because looking back on it then, we were not mentally ready to be parents, like at all. We thought just because we have the money for it that it was going to be okay. But like knowing what we know now, I'm like, there is no way in hell we would have been able to handle having kids at 20, it was insane.
So did that money help though? Like if the people you were, did it get compensated by the financial backing and allowed you to grow into parents a bit faster because you had the money there versus not?
Yeah, I think that made an impact. I think, at that age, at that time, particularly for me as a provider and as the man, I definitely looked at things and went, you know what, the pressure isn't on me as much.
Mm.
The pressure is kind of... it's around me and it's going to be hard being a dad, but guess what? I have the blessing of having this amount of money and that will support us. I can go out and spend $10,000 preparing a baby room and I'm not going to worry too much about that. So I believe that did really help us.
So in a sense, because Steve Harvey always talks about women have a biological clock and men have a financial clock. And it doesn't matter how long people are together when they want to have a family, the man only thinks about, can I secure the family's future for XYZ? Whereas the woman just thinks about, I just want to be a mother. And until I heard him give this speech, I was like, that makes so much sense because we went through maternal phases years and years ago and Kayla just wanted the mum thing. And in my head, I'm like, what am I going to do? School this thing in a newspaper? Like, that was the mindset. And so I love the theory behind that. And when you, because everything happens for a reason. So it's kind of funny that like this little sacrifice on the finger, that allowed the girls to have the life they've got. Because if that didn't happen, you might not have them how you've got them. You might not have the headspace, the comfort, the happiness. Like all of this might not have happened if this didn't happen.
Correct.
Mm. Yeah. It's kind of funny when at the time you're like, fuck the world, I'm pissed off. Yeah. Why me? Why wasn't it your finger?
Yeah.
Now looking back on it, it's like, well, all these little steps wouldn't have happened if I didn't just sacrifice, you know, a couple inches of the finger.
And
like no one wants to do it, but when you really think about
it. Do you want to see it? Have you had a good look at it?
Get the camera. Like, have a gander camera.
Like that's what it is.
So for you blokes out there in the trades world, if you want to, you know, all you're going to do is just drop your finger where it shouldn't be and this can be your future.
I'm honestly just sad that you can't paint that finger now. Like my OCD is just like...
Thank you, Kayla.
Can they not just paint green on the tip of your finger for me?
I mean, honestly...
Have you ever done that?
I haven't, but I'm thinking about doing it now and I might just do it just for you.
I'm going to put this out to the listeners out here. I don't know what's a good number because this hasn't launched yet. So when this episode launches, guys, if we can get over 5,000 listens on this episode, the Uncensored Podcast will pay for Luther. to get a permanent tattoo of his coloured choice of the shape of a nail to match the rest of his hand.
Is that to make me happy or Kayla?
it's to make the fans happy. I want the fans to feel like that tattoo, that nail that you'll have forever, is because of them.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And if you're open to it, we can even get the fans to decide what colour to get.
I mean, I could actually handle that.
You're one of the people.
They are rainbow right now, so.
Yeah, I'm just missing green.
I want to, we've had some fun now, and we've spoken about the money, and we call it a mistake or a blessing, you know, it could go either way, but I want to learn, what did you learn from the mistakes, right? Because now you're in a position where you earn that kind of money, you know, a lot more frequently, but you're in a different headspace. So what was the process between there and now, just mentally between you guys? Was it conversations? Did you ever look back and go, geez, we didn't even like think to invest this or save it? Or are you just like, it is what it is, shit happens, but we have to change that moving forward? Like, what was the shift in your head to start thinking, I want to make more money, and when I get to this point, I want to be more in control of it, and not that, because obviously back then the money controlled you, right? It was like, yeah, hey, I'm here, spend me, and you were just kind of like a prop that got to use it. Now you control it. What happened to create the shift?
If I was to put it sort of into like one sort of category, I'd probably say time.
I definitely agree. It is time. We've had a lot of time to reflect on those actions. I'm not going to say mistakes because they weren't mistakes. I do not believe that us spending the money or having fun was a mistake at all. I've always believed that the minute you stop making mistakes is the minute you stop learning. So it was a huge learning curve for us. We had our fun, don't get me wrong. Like, we went on holidays, we bought cars. I got my boobs done, for crying out loud, and that is something.
And they were so worth it, by the way.
So worth it. I had nothing. So looking back on it, it's not like we wasted our money. We spent the money on things that made us happy.
At the time,
yeah. And, you know, out of purchasing cars, we sold cars, bought more cars. So it's not like the money was completely gone. I've got my boobs now and they're making me money in the industry.
Shitloads of money.
It's really, I think that's a really hard question to answer in the terms of what shifted. It wasn't so much as a shift. I think it was just...
I'm going to chime in there.
No way.
I'm going to stop you right there. I think that what completely made us shift there and really try and analyze and think about that was the fact that we had children. Once we realized that time was just passing us by, our kids were growing, we quickly realized we needed to build on what we had and utilize the best things that
we do have. I do agree with you.
And I think it's important to note that, you know, we want success and we want to show our kids that we were the change in just watching the errors of my parents and how hard they worked.
Yeah.
You know, that was one big thing that, you know.
You've got to remember we were 20, well, you were 21, I was 19 around this time, 19, 20. And we're 27 and nearly 30 now. So I think that's going to come. We're naturally going to mature. Our, like, mentality is naturally going to be different from when you are that age.
I think the mindset really changes too. Like, for me, I'm really big on, like, looking at your parents as examples. I watched my father work super, super hard. And he's, you know, and how men and women work until, you know, the age of retirement, and then they end up in a retirement home or they're sick or they're unhealthy. And for many years, I've always sort of studied that, and I didn't want to be like that. I want to be fit. I want to be healthy. I want to have financial backing so I can enjoy my life. And I believe that that was also one of the shifts that we sort of went through, that we don't want to retire at 75 and hope that we can live in a caravan.
Two years ago, though, going through all that, knowing all of that, I wouldn't have thought that we would have been in the adult industry at all. Like, I don't think if we were to take it back 3 years and someone was to ask us, do you think you'd be making the money you're earning now or supporting your family the way you're supporting it through the adult industry? I honestly reckon it would have been no way in hell. I would have been a forensic officer. I would have been a police officer. I would have been, you know, going and studying like bloody crime scenes or something. And, you know, you probably would have been a manager by now in your company.
Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, no.
But what started it all was actually Because we're both little horn dogs. We have always... I'm bisexual. Like, I'm so bisexual. I love my women just as much as I love my men. And Luther actually knew that. And it was about 7 years ago he actually asked if we'd like to dabble in something like that. So that's kind of where, like, it all started.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. And if you're enjoying yourself, which I'm sure you are, locate that subscribe button because there is plenty more juice coming your way.
And have you, obviously, like you said, that you got into this because obviously wanting to explore, I guess, and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done any other aspects of the adult industry? Like, have you swung before, or would you consider yourself as like a monogamous couple?
Yeah, no. So
we're monogamous in a sense. Like, we wouldn't go and, you know, take on another girlfriend or boyfriend or bring anyone into our family unit. Yeah,
so nothing like a throuple.
No, nothing like that. But we do like having sex with other people. I mean, yes, we're in the porn industry, so we kind of have to. But even before that, we had experimented with swinging.
Best part of like seven years. We did a lot of that. And I think that was part of the bridge for us is that we learned to be comfortable with that. And then from that, we were able to easily bridge into working in the adult industry.
Oh, it's just
and
like
the emotional attachment wasn't there like it would be for other people to start. I think that was really important for us because it helped ease us into it, didn't it, Del?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're doing it. May as well get paid for it.
Yeah, that's facts.
Right, so we've touched on the swinging side of things and your guys' experimentation in a relationship sense.
Mm.
How do we transition that to a business, right? Because when you move into porn, there's and I want this – this is going to be – this is for the couples out there because there's going to be couples that listen to this that probably experiment a little bit like you guys have or do, and they're sitting there going, how do we sort of translate this passion and this open relationship conversation that we've got into an aspect of business, right? Because it's quite a transition and people view what they see in porn versus what the reality behind the scenes of porn and how much effort goes into it all. What was that transition like for you guys? Was it different to what you were expecting when you had that conversation? Let's get into porn. Were you expecting something and it was something totally different? Was it exactly what you were expecting? How'd that conversation come about to go, let's stop experimenting in our personal life and transition this into a potential career?
If I'm being honest, it wasn't even really a conversation. It was like a domino effect. It's like we got into the swinging and then the next thing you know, I'm selling my panties online. The next thing you know, we're diving into OnlyFans. Like, there was no like real we're gonna do this like conversation. It just kind of
also comes down to me being sort of like a different breed from other men in a lot of ways too. I sort of learned to put eventually once I realized how much work it took in a normal job to make a good living and build a good life and have a good portfolio and everything like that, I quickly put aside the emotions attached to sexuality around winter, and we were able to go through a couple of challenges. It was difficult in the beginning. We did have our challenges. We've had our ups and downs. We've had our fights about things like that. But eventually we worked through. Well, eventually we worked through that. And we realized that, you know, building, a life and building, a good financially stable lifestyle for ourselves and our children was more important than attaching ourselves to the emotions that most people, like, you know, most couples would probably listen to that and go, you know, these people are crazy. But in this situation, like, I think I'd share with other people that it's actually built our relationship.
Yeah.
And I find that our relationship, you know, a lot of the time, like if we're going to get raw and we're going to get real here, you know, a lot of my friends will come to me, you know, males, and they'll say to me, oh, you know, this girl, that girl, you know, I'm doing this, we'll be in public, they're looking at other girls. And I always sit back and go, I don't need to do any of that. Do you know why? Because I don't need to hide it. I don't need to hide it. I don't need to lie about it. I don't need to go behind my partner's back and do it because males have these instincts, you know? It's like an animal sort of, it's bloody welfare out there. You know, people want to go out there and they want to fuck. It's simple, especially guys. But for me, you know, I don't need to hide. I don't have to like hide who I am. I can be myself. and Winter accepts that and I accept her. And it's actually built our relationship, I feel, a lot stronger than other people who don't work in the adult industry, because we've already stepped beyond all the boundaries that other people fantasize about. You know, people often fantasize, oh, I'd love to fuck, you know, my partner's best friend. Well, guess what? I've fucking done it.
All three of them.
I've fucked all of my partner's best friends and I'm stoked about it.
I'm still waiting for my turn.
I don't think we're ever going to get to that point unless, of course, one of the viewers want to pay us really, really, really well. So if you're out there and you're listening to this, it's going to take $1 million.
When you started, you obviously started the OnlyFans side of things. It was just together, right?
Yeah.
When – now – you and I are very similar in a sense of understanding the business separation, right? Because most blokes out there, everyone I talk to, same deal. I could never let my missus do that. And I'm like, well, first of all, the fact that you say you never let her puts you in that's the wrong mindset anyway. 100%. Because, right, you don't control anything. It's more, could you ever support her doing that? They're attaching the emotion. So when you guys went from together only to going, it's time to collaborate separately, right? Because it's easy when you shoot together and then it's easy when you have threesomes together because you're both there. But the moment it was like, I'm now shooting with someone, you're now shooting with someone, we're not together. Did that stretch you? Were you a little, was that, like, how long did it take? And we can rightly say, the first couple of scenes Kayla and I did individually was a bit like, am I jealous right now?
It's challenging, right? It's challenging.
Because the second, if you guys are having a threesome together, it's easy.
Yeah.
You're there. Yeah.
But hey, Luther, you're over here with this girl. Winter, you're over here with this boy.
Yeah.
We're not together right now. We can't see what's going on right now.
Yeah.
It was the first couple of times you did that. Did you get jealous? Were you envious? Were you like, man, what if he fucks her better than I can? Like, did those things run through your mind?
Oh, 100%. I think the important thing to note too is we, even as swingers for almost 7 years, we never swung in different rooms or in different locations with different people.
We were always together.
So it's funny you're touching on that, because I think that you guys were a big part of us wanting to take that next step, because we quickly realized that you know, to start to move in the right direction with inside our careers, we needed to start taking steps to get us there. And as part of those steps was Winter, you know, working with industry leading men, and for me, I needed to start working with industry leading ladies as well. So we had to bridge that gap, and the reason we did that was to further our careers.
Yeah, like, we weren't going to get anywhere if we didn't like break down those barriers and let go of those fears.
Yeah. But look, from what you sort of say, like, yes, it was really challenging. I mean, the first time I remember that day, I was kind of like, you know, even with the experience that I do have, that day I was kind of like, you know, anxious.
You had to go distract yourself for the day.
Yeah, I had to go distract myself for that day. You know, I'm pretty sure I got a massage or did something silly.
I'm pretty
sure
you did.
I did.
The happy ending.
So, yeah, but no, definitely really challenging. But, you know, we're grateful and we're happy that, you know, we have the support of our friends and we have support of industry leaders around us to, I suppose, show us the ropes.
Mm.
So,
yeah. We're all human, though. Like, we have emotions. Like, I remember the first time that Jackson... the first time that Jackson shot, I was like a fucking disgusting mental breakdown mess. And I think I threatened him that he was never allowed to shoot ever again. Like, that's how bad I got. But keeping in mind, like, we've been together 16 years and that was the first time he had slept with someone else.
Yeah.
In 16 years.
Yeah. No. Oh.
Yes. Shit. So,
we're getting raw, people.
Yeah. No, it's completely normal to feel that.
Yeah.
No, I think so. I think that it's never easier for either sex, but I think men, we naturally have an alpha aspect about us, right? Whereas no one walks around and goes, a woman's alpha. It might be alpha to each other, but in the grand scheme of things, if a war hit the country, no one's going to sit there and be like, get in front of me and protect me, right? It's natural instinct for us. And so we become naturally defensive, protective, and you start having these thoughts of, and it is, and for the boys out there listening, you know, I get asked a lot, and I'm sure Luther gets asked a lot as well, like, how do you let them do it? I want my partner to do it. But everyone's stuck in that comfort zone. And you guys said it so well. If you're not willing to face that comfort zone break, how can I accept? You know, there's a saying I learned many years ago, if you want what others can't have, you have to do what others won't do.
That's facts.
And it's the best thing in the world because the difference that separates the money we get to make and the lifestyle we get to live is the fact that you and I are happy to break the comfort zone in supporting these girls doing something that most men can't.
Yeah.
So most men want to be out there working physically like you used to.
Yeah.
Slaving your ass away, physically working, putting yourself at risk for accidents, which happened. Fortunately, it was a nice accident that could have been a lot worse.
100%.
Men want to do that, make less money, because the fear of their alpha being challenged in supporting someone doing this is, and I credit you, and there's not a lot of guys like us, and the boys out there listening, I hope you can remove that, because it doesn't remove any part of our alpha, right? Kayla and I still have fights every single day. If someone feels like they're challenging my alpha, it still sparks me up.
Yeah.
Maybe not every single day.
There's a part of me that sometimes looks for it. Sometimes I get a little horny for a fight. I'm like, how can I get angry today? But that's just...
Thank God I'm not the only one.
It's character building though, isn't it, Jacko?
I think it's also it's growth.
Yeah.
If it was just easy, it wouldn't feel worth it. And I guess the part of us that we, you know, when we go and enjoy our money spending and we're about to travel, you know, to a different country with each other in a few weeks, and the splurging is our reward of supporting their hard work, but also the mental aspect that we go through is, it doesn't bring in finances, but it allows the finances to happen, because it's a pretty hard mental battle when you have to sit there and be like, man, my wife's taking 10 dicks this week. Like, not many blokes are talking about that. That'll hurt most people thinking about it.
100%.
Let alone actually living it and understanding how to grow past it and separate the emotion from it. And I think that's a work for us. And for the boys out there listening, there's nothing unalpha about your partner, mate. Like, I've gone through the phase where I made the money and put Kayla on a stage and helped. She came on free holidays. You went through the phase where I'm fine letting Kayla be the money maker, because in this particular industry, no one wants to see me and you naked doing shit. Like, let's just be honest.
No fucking way.
You know what I think?
It's not
Zac
Efron and Channing Tatum. Like, I mean, like, we're just two average dudes. Like, we don't, no one wants to see it. We have to support. It's your guys' time.
100%. And what I think is alpha when it comes to Luther is that he gets to stay at home and be a dad. Like, and he loves doing that. I think that's the most alpha of alphas ever, being a good dad and being there for your kids while I go and take the ropes for a little bit. You were supporting me for a good part of 7 years before I got into the industry, and I'd barely worked. So it's... I don't know. I feel like
I think it's just like, it's been a super interesting journey to sort of be on the other side of the fence, because I've made the money, I've made the career, I've you know, protected, I've nurtured, I've financially supported Winter and my family for a number of years, and now I'm seeing the other side of the fence, and I think it's a challenge, and I think men out there should think about that, and I've shared that with someone recently. Now that I'm on the other side of the fence, now that I'm doing the cooking, the cleaning, the looking after the kids, I think that it's actually shown me you know, how much work women actually do put in, and it's been really enlightening for me, and it's actually started to sort of, you know, show me that, yeah, that other side of the fence, and help me build on that and given me that growth, you know?
Yeah, I love that, and I love that aspect, and I want to touch on the girls. This is the part, and I 100% know parents who are listening to this, they're going to have these questions.
Yeah.
If I do this... Now, there's a sex tape leaking of me or whatever, right? And we've all been teenagers. We all know gossip happens. Was it ever a factor that you guys were like, should we, shouldn't we? Or were you just like, this is who we are? Knowing that, like, cool, I've got two little girls. Do you ever think, I mean, these are the things that we all laugh at because we think it's nothing. Mm-hmm. But there's people out there that'll be like, will the girls get bullied? What happens if the girls are 15 and they're like, I've seen your mum naked, right? This is all going to happen.
Yeah.
It's the reality. So do you just go, well, we'll just educate them differently so they understand it differently? Do you just be like, who cares? Like, so what? Your dad's a firefighter. My dad has sex with your mom. Like, big deal. Like, what do you guys view it so simply like we do? But there are people out there that would be like, that's crazy. That's a big deal. What was the thought process, the conversation you guys had about, well, this is our career path. We can't hide it. It's going to be public when our girls are old enough. Do we just deal with it as it comes? Or what was the conversation?
So we nearly finished this episode. And just like you, I don't want our time together to come to an end. But the good news is, it doesn't have to. Because if you think I'm uncensored here, imagine what I get up to on my OnlyFans. Hit the link below and I will see you in there. Have fun.
I think there was absolutely zero fucking conversation.
There was no conversation.
Because being a porn star is probably the coolest fucking job in the world. And I think that through... My kids aren't getting into flying fuck. Do you know why?
Why? Why, babe?
Because they're going to go on sick fucking holidays. Their parents are going to be super fucking MILFs and DILFs when they get older.
Oh my God.
Because my kids are hopefully going to go to private schools and have good educations, because they're hopefully going to have properties to be passed on to them when they're older.
I think what Luther's trying to say is that brutal. We are just taking it as it comes. We aren't too worried about it in the sense, like, right now. I know you said, you know, there could be a potential for bullying later on in life. And unfortunately, they're probably going to get bullied no matter, like, the reason, whether it's because we're in the porn industry, whether it's because one of them might be a little bit weird, or, you know, likes having her hair or makeup a little bit different or something like that. They're always going to get bullied. We have had a conversation, though, and a discussion on when will be the right time to tell the kids about what we do for work. Like, at the moment, if I'm out doing something, or if I have to go to a collab, or if I need to go to work and they're around, I just say I'm going and visiting friends, because they're not really going to understand what my work is. Like, if I say I'm going to work, they'll be like, what do you do? And that's not exactly someone I want them to go back and tell their friends just yet. So I think we're going to wait until they are that little bit older, where they can maturely understand that Mum and Dad are in the adult industry. And the bullying side of things, we're just going to teach them to have broad shoulders. And like Luther said, I'm hoping that we can create them a magical enough life and, you know, have them doing enough hobbies and all of that kind of stuff, things that we probably wouldn't have been able to do before being in the adult industry, that we can do now for them, that it kind of just negates any kind of pressures that they're going to experience. Maybe. Yep. We don't even know if it's going to happen. They might not. Some of their friends might think it's the coolest freaking thing in the world.
I think they fucking will.
I think because they're girls, it might be a little bit different too, though.
Correct.
So,
and have you had any parents pull you up on what you do yet? Like, have parents at the school, like, do they know?
We've had conversations. I mean, I think it's important to know that Winter and I both do school drop-offs, pickups. You know, we're never in a uniform. We're never driving a uniformed car, you know, anything like that. So we have had questions. Like, I had a kindy teacher ask me, you know, like, you're always here sort of thing. You come at sporadic times. Like, what do you and Winter do for work?
Tell them we work online.
We work online. And, you know, it's something that we've just learnt to overcome. The questions that get asked, you know, we've just learnt to overcome them, haven't we?
Yeah. Well, in the school sense, I think it's just best to keep those things under wraps, you know. All they need to know is that we do work online, which we do. I don't think we need to go out and tell them that we're, you know, working in porn, because that's not a cast of judgment I want on me, if that makes sense.
No, I adore that answer, because what you guys just did, and for parents out there, you guys just normalized it.
Yeah. Basically, yeah.
You haven't, parents out there, you know, you could be shooting yourself in the foot of a massive, massive income here, because you're overthinking scenarios that may or may not happen, and you can't control it.
Yeah, you can't.
These guys have just normalized.
What did you say the other day? They're stories.
Right, exactly.
Just making up stories.
No story, no problem. And you guys aren't foreseeing a story. You've just normalized it. It is what it is. And the lifestyle is going to be totally different. And Mum and Dad can be with you all the time. And I think that's the lesson for parents out there. They're like, I really want to, but I'm thinking about a scenario that may or may not happen 10 years from now.
Yeah.
It's out of your control.
Yeah.
You could set your family up between now and then. So I love the answer of normalization.
Yeah.
Now, we want our listeners to plug themselves into you. So where can they find you?
They can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and OnlyFans if they want, you know, some of the raunchier stuff.
And it's yet to be announced, but also on Pornhub. So
perfect. All right. We'll drop your links below so they can go find you.
Yay.
Thank you.
So come say good day.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for coming on today. We appreciate having you.
Absolutely. We love being here. You better have us back.
Guys, if you enjoyed, obviously, what they spoke about, you know, all the lessons they learned, you know, you can find them. Like they said, we'll just plug them now. Instagram tag is what?
My Instagram tag is @LutherInHell_.
And mine's _WinterInHell_.
Boom. Anything else you want to find on the raunchy side of things, we'll be connected to those links, guys. So any lessons, feel free to DM these guys. Ask them questions. Obviously, it's an open book. It's an open conversation. So we appreciate it, guys. Until next time on the Uncensored Podcast, speak soon.